chapter 2, the second book of Kings, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Bethel. Verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. Verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the water, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Then he also had smitten the water, they parted, hither and thither, and Elijah. The Lord will bless the reading of his blessed word. I want to notice just a little this afternoon, picturing Elisha and Elijah as a picture of the Lord Jesus and disciples. Elisha may be very profitably looked upon in his ministry as a picture of the Lord Jesus, and we would delight in that. But what I wish to notice particularly a little today is the experience of a disciple on two sides of Jordan. In a very definite way, I want to try and address my thoughts to the exercise of those who are younger in the faith today. Now, I do not say that by discrimination, but I say it by for I do believe that there are young men and young women who have come to our conference. There are young married men and young married women, and they also are here today. And the exercise of their heart is, where is the Lord God of Elijah? How may I also know the power of God in my life? How may I also realize the power of God in my life? And so I want to notice very briefly, first of all, the negative side of Jordan in the experience of Elisha, and then the positive side. So this man knew God's power with him. He accompanied with Elijah. He followed him. He could say four times, I will not leave thee. We've been hearing this afternoon from both of our brethren the idea, the thought of faithfulness to the Lord Jesus, keeping ourselves from that which defiles, occupying our eye, our hearts, with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to close this meeting upon that note,
with a desire that it will help us. And if it be possible, should there be one or more of young men exercised in soul for the future of their life, for the future of the assembly of God, in its testimony, that God in mercy would be pleased to use something and lay it upon your soul to give you both direction and help, that your life may prosper for the glory of God. First of all, I want you to notice, in relation to Elisha, if you were to look back to the first book of Kings and look in the 14th chapter where we have this dear man brought before us, you will get a little picture of the call to discipleship. Now, I'm not going to take time to look at that, but there are two characteristics of discipleship in Elisha that I want you to underline and to look at it in the view of New Testament teaching regarding discipleship in the four Gospels. First of all, there is a historical part to the discipleship of Elisha. That is, there had to do with a distinct part of his life that he had to look at as history. There are always two sides to discipleship. There is the walk, the call, and the walk of the disciple. That's the historical part. But there also, when we look at that chapter, there is a spiritual part. That has to do with character. God took a dealing with Elisha relative to his following of Elijah. His spiritual character. And dear younger brethren and sisters, yea, for all of us today, let us never divorce in our thinking those two parts of discipleship. Discipleship is not only an outward walking, an outward activity. It requires spiritual character. Spiritual character is fundamental to a walk that will be marked by anything of the power of God. Activity is spurious so very often. So often it is rather an excuse for a restlessness of the flesh. But oh, beloved, that we may know the God of Elijah in his power, in our hand, in our lives, in the assembly of God. Our brethren were speaking a little this morning, and we were speaking together regarding some of those who have gone before us, those men who taught us, those men who took us to open air meetings, those men who taught us to wear a sandwich board, those men that put gospel papers into our hands. Dear brethren and sisters, you dear younger men, we would say to you from the depth of our heart today, if you intend to know the power of God, you'll have to stand apart and be different. You'll have to know the reality of spiritual character linked with the activity of discipleship. Now in the former part of this chapter, we have four places that are mentioned. The first one is Gilgal. The second one is Bethel. And then follows Jericho. And finally, we find two men at Jordan. Elijah, I want to notice as a picture of the Lord Jesus in three ways. First of all, he accompanied Elisha over the Jordan. Then I would like you to notice Elijah as he is caught up to glory. A new relationship. Elisha must see Elijah as he goes into glory. He is going to serve God. He is going to minister for God. But in a different relationship with Elijah now. And then I would like you to notice the mantle of Elijah as he takes it and goes back to the Jordan. Another side of Jordan now in the experience of this man, Elisha. First of all, notice the two of them walking together. We have had it underlined in our souls today. And again, we wish to but emphasize what my brethren have brought before us. First of all, this afternoon, we were taught to look unto Jesus, keeping our eye fixed upon the Lord Jesus as the example of one who walked by faith. We had our eye fixed upon the possibility of defilement to take us out of fellowship with the Lord, and are fixing our eye again upon him who is seated at the right hand of God to preserve our footsteps and to keep us and to restore us again and yet again. Oh, the blessedness of having one's eye fixed upon the Lord Jesus. It is then that our cup truly is filled. It is then that our soul is warm. It is then that our worship has character for God, it is then that our footsteps are carefully trodden in the fear of the Lord, when our eye is kept filled with the man upon God's right hand. They went together. 4 times we hear them speaking together about their pathway. The first place we find them is at Gilgal. For those who are younger in the reading of the scriptures, you will find Gilgal as an important place in the history of Israel. It was the place they went to when they're crossing over the Jordan into the land of Palestine, the land that was to become their inheritance. It is marked as a place of sharp knowledge, for there, again, the rites of circumcision are to be renewed with the people. It's a place that is a picture of the sharp knife of self-judgment, judgment against the flesh. May I say to your younger brother, in exercise before God, you will find that it is easier to judge the flesh than to deny the flesh. But I think we find in the knives of Gilgal, we have the denial of the flesh. It has also the idea of judging, but it's the application of it. It's the putting it into practice. And I speak first to myself, but in seeking to reach your heart today for discipleship and usefulness and the exercise that is in your heart to know the power of God, let me say to you, dear younger brother and sister, a denial of the flesh is absolutely necessary if our footsteps are going to find us with God's power again beside the Jordan. But Gilgal as well, as you notice in the experience of Israel, had to do with the reproach of Egypt. And it was rolled away from them forever. That is, they were never going to return back there. The road was doubly closed to them to go back into Egypt. And dear brothers and sisters, there is absolutely nothing in the world that can be but a reproach to God's people. The world is a reproach to all the purposes of God. I think if you read thoughtfully in your Bible, you will find that if God is ever going to have anything for himself in this world, he has to separate it. It must be separated from the present system of the world, from the present goals of the world, from the present occupation of the world. If God is going to have a man for himself, he must be separated from the world. And Gilgal, Elijah, and Elisha find the two of them there. Oh, I trust that God will give each of us experience again at Gilgal, personal experience of the application of the sharp knife and an understanding of the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt. But the second place we find them is at Bethel. Bethel, we realize, in the history of various individuals in the book of Genesis in particular, was a most important place. But what I want you to notice is that while it was intended of God, for its name means house of God, Bethel, the house of God, while that is its intended character, and it proved to be so in the life of Jacob, it proved to be a place of restoration for Jacob. It was a place where he raised some of his children, the place of Bethel, nearness to the house of God. But Bethel became polluted with idols. Bethel became polluted with the workings and the ways of the nations. And Bethel became a place that was not to become the place of settling down for dear Elisha if he was going to be a true disciple. He's going to be a man like Elijah. If he is going to know intimacy with God and his ministry, which was to be a ministry of healing, a ministry of encouragement, a ministry of building up, a ministry of bringing strength out of weakness for God, that was to be his ministry. Oh, thank God, he is able to raise up men and shall and has raised up men who is able to bring the power of God into conscious weakness and to raise a testimony of a healing character, a testimony that will bring good into the land of the people of God, and small assemblies to be built, need assemblies to be made strong, gospel to be preached, young men to step out into the work of the gospel. Dear brethren, let us not forget the youngest man in the work of God, full-time president, is almost 40. I mean in this way, David Wilberforce. It's almost another generation. There's an election here. More than one. A man who will step out alone with Elijah, keep close to him, follow him to Gilgal and know it personally, truly. Get away to Bethel. How's he going to negotiate through Bethel, a place that's been polluted, idolatry and corruption? Only one way. He could say, I will not leave thee. That was his safety, to keep his eye upon Elijah, to keep near to Elijah, to walk in fellowship with Elijah. And so it is in Jericho. Ah, that enchanting place. That place that had been built and rebuilt under the curse of God. Yet it was a place of perfumes. It was the place of palm trees. It was the place of renowned parks. But it wasn't for an Elisha. That's not the place to settle down, Elisha. You must know the experience of going again with near Elijah, down to the river Jordan. The two of them went over the river together. And so the first part of the little history of Elisha, as the disciple here, is negative. It was a place of saying no. No to the flesh. No to the idolatrous world. No to the enchantments of the world. And to go to Jordan. There must be a negative part of my life and yours, dear brethren and sisters, if God will be able to use us. And I feel it in my soul, for God knows I yearn to see more sinners reached and saved than I am seeing. Causes many an hour for gospel preachers, you know, to get along with God and to groan before the throne for the powerlessness. And it seems the fruitlessness in the gospel that we still yearn for. Oh, that I might learn it again. This is the place, Elisha. He with Elijah beside the Jordan. He smote the Jordan with his mantle, and the two of them went over together. What a beautiful picture. Yes, we may look upon that in Romans chapter 6. We may see the experience and the entering into the experience of living in the power of resurrection life. We may see the experience of passing the Jordan in its typical teaching, where it speaks of death, and we go through the Jordan as Israel did before them. They went over the Jordan into the land, and when they stepped over the Jordan, that was to be the place of development. God never intended them to develop out there in the wilderness, lands of fruitfulness and vineyards and fields. No, he intended them to come into the land. He never intended that their worship should be of that nomadic character in the wilderness. He intended that they should have a place for his name in the land. That was God's purpose, so that the land, the river of Jordan, was that which speaks of death, that which is the teaching of our New Testament. And we learn again and again and again. Oh, that we may experience personally going with him again over the Jordan. Now, I do not mean by that we are saved again and again. That's not the idea. But it's the practical experience of learning it again. Of going again in the power of it. In company with himself. Now that they have reached the other side of the Jordan, they're walking along the road. Let me notice three things with you as I bring the meeting to a close. This is the positive part of his ministry. His life would never be the same from this time on.
You know, I look back to two conferences very particularly in my experience, and the same man was ministering the truth, Mr. F.G. Watson of Toronto, Ontario. Once in Toronto, and once in East Aurora, New York. We had our conference in a tent there. In East Aurora, New York, I learned under the ministry of dear Mr. Watson the blessed truth of Romans 6, 7, and 8. And it got a hold of my soul and it opened up to me. And it made the difference in my life in dealing with the flesh and seeking to know wilderness to the Holy Spirit of God. And once in Toronto, Canada, I look back to his ministry when he rose one Sunday afternoon to minister to us from Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. And he got my ear that afternoon when he commenced his speaking by reminding the young people in the audience that he also was raised in a Christian home. And it hadn't cost him, but it had cost some of his brethren who had ministered to him, with him, that afternoon to come into the assembly. I was raised that way too, so I thought that I would be listening again. I was exercised to please God, and his ministry that afternoon made that blessed truth so precious to my heart. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Turning points in my life, the ministry of a conference. I trust Renmar Conference will be the turning point for some young Elisha, some young man or some young woman who will get to recognize the need, and in their exercise for the need will know the experience of this dear man. First of all, I want you to notice his request. Now, the question of Elijah, I believe, was a test. There are five tests in Elijah's life, if you would care to look them up. They're not all in this chapter, but I see three tests in this chapter, and this is the last one. It's a test question. Elijah puts this before him in verse 9. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. What will you have the Lord to do for you? What would I have the Lord to do for me? If I had one request, which would be that priority? Weigh it well, dear young man. The Lord Jesus were to give you one thing, whatever your heart's request may be. It was asked of Solomon. Thank God he answered well. He made a shepherd of Israel out of him, a leader of Israel. Here's a man who's going to be a powerful minister for God in the day in which he is called to discipleship. What's his answer? A double portion of thy spirit. The portion of the firstborn. The portion of the inheritance. Ah, thank God he asked well, and he received it. May God take young men and young women to their closet after this day, alone by your bedside or the mattress where you're going to sleep tonight, let the answer come down and the question come down into your soul. Ask what thou wilt before I be taken from thee. The answer may go to God, to the blessed Lord of glory. A double portion of thy spirit. Here's a man who saw the need of his day. He was a man who recognized a need of divine power in the midst of the day in which he lived. And he could see that God was dealing with him. And Elijah said to him, if thou seest me, when the Lord takes me away, look at me. Your request will be answered. And now he's going to look at Elijah as he goes up. The chariot of fire, the horses, the whirlwind, Elijah's caught away. And that chariot that's been with the glory of a coming Lord in the future day of God's dealings with Israel. It's linked with divine presence. It's linked with divine power. It's linked with divine revelation. Elijah's caught away. And the word of God tells us,
Elisha saw. Thank God his eye was fixed on a man that went into the glory. We were reading from the beloved epistle of Hebrews to the Hebrews. Four times you will find the Lord Jesus in ascended glory in that passage. And dear brethren, every one of those occasions were meant to fix the eye of a people on earth, a pilgrim people who were discouraged, servants who had become distracted from their work. Their eye is fixed again upon the ascended Lord. And if you will look at those passages and seek to develop them, for I will not mention them now, but the eye being fixed upon the Lord Jesus in ascended glory was the very first step of knowing power for God in his labors, in his work, in his path of discipleship. And the mantle fell. I love to think of Elijah's mantle. It's a very interesting subject. Five times it is mentioned. It is a subject that has often interested me. But what I want you to notice here is, and I would just say this to younger brethren seeking to minister and preach the gospel and seeking to guide in the assemblies, remember this, dear younger brethren, and I speak to my own soul also. The mantle that served the old man well was perfectly sufficient for the needs of the young man. It is not a new mantle we need. It wasn't a mantle we put on the piano, as Mr. Stewart used to say, and show off to everybody. It was a mantle to be laid hold of by a young man's hand and taken down to the same river. He's not questioning the power of God when he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He has the assurance of it, for his request has been answered. God has laid hold of him. He takes up the mantle of that dear old prophet that's gone to glory. He stretched before him, and God is there. Dear young man, God will be with you. Young sister, God is sufficient. He is sufficient for the needs of the assembly. He is sufficient for your life of faith in the work of the gospel. Lay hold of the mantle and step out for God. And dear Elisha, as he stepped by the water and he smote it, it parted and he went over. That's where his ministry began. My, how precious it would be to see some young man who would lay hold of the mantle of an Elijah. The risen Lord, take a hold of it. He gave it to men before you. They have used it. Serve them well. Lay hold of it for yourself. As dear Paul wrote to beloved Timothy, don't let it be marred. Lose nothing of it. Don't allow it to be defaced. Take it in all its blessed value and use it for God. And the God of Elijah will be with you in the ministry that he will give you to perform. May the Lord encourage our heart. Help us to realize the both sides of the Jordan in discipleship and go in for it with all our heart, the power of God might be with us, and we might rejoice much in his glory and his blessing for his name's sake.